Blog Talk Radio.
Well, praise the Lord, everybody. This is the Miracle Man and the Preacher Man show here. Preacher and Miracle Man. And it's so great to have all of you with us here on a cool winter night. We're at the end of January, just about. So I think it's safe to say we're almost to the midpoint of winter. And then we'll find out on Friday what that silly groundhog has to say about 6 weeks of winter. I don't have an eye predict about what he's going to see. We have to wait and see what he says. He does predict with about 50% accuracy, which is pretty good if you ask me for an animal, honestly. But generally, here's the way I say it. You want me to pick your games, you can use me. Because chances are, next for the football games this year, I picked with a bit more than 50% accuracy. It was more like in the 60s or 70s, honestly. But if you want winter predictions, you could listen to the groundhog if you want it. I mean, I get a hoot out of it, listening to the groundhog thing every year on Groundhog Day morning at about 7:30 when he gets his thing. Because I like to hear what he has to say, what that man has to say, the man who has the groundhog. Nonetheless, I am here at McDonald's at 1711 South Saginaw Road here in Midland. I'm across the road from a Kmart store. Okay. I'm next door to a Marathon gas station to the southeast and a Disability Network station, office to the northwest. We are on the inside towards the back of the restaurant. And by the way, speaking of McDonald's restaurant, I did just get done eating a nice and salty, hot, large McDonald's America's favorite fry with a sip of America's favorite beverage, Coca-Cola, which is available for only $1 per size at participating McDonald's. Speaking of dollar and dollar menus, Taco Bell started doing fries for $1, and they're pretty good, but they're different from McDonald's. You can only get them in one size. They are different, and more to come on that at another time. So here is the plan for this evening. We are going to continue reading in Exodus. We read 15 and 16 last time. We read from it. So tonight we're going to read 17, possibly 18. And then we're also going to read Hebrews 11 and the first couple verses of Hebrews 12. After that, I'm going to exhort. Then after that, I have a little testimony of someone, my father's mother, of a testimony to share on that and some reasoning behind that. Also, I went to the car show, the auto show, on Friday in downtown Detroit. So, the details on that. Then, it is Super Week this week. You say, what's Super Week? Super Week is the week of the Super Bowl. And, for example, what's going on right now, basically, is, well, right now in Minneapolis, they have something called Radio Row right now, a Mall of America, where they have all kinds of media people who are live there doing their shows this week and providing coverage to the Super Bowl. And so they're doing that there. At another place, I'm sure close to Metrodome, they're having something called the NFL Experience, which is very interactive. You can go and participate and do stuff. Kids can throw a football. People can meet players, I bet. I believe, yes. You can absolutely meet players. Next year, the Super Bowl will be in Atlanta. And that, however, is something I'm going to talk about later when we do sports. I have Super Bowl stuff this year and for what I want next year if I get to go. Thought of that. Update on the Pistons and how they're doing, as well as some other basketball like Michigan and Michigan State. In addition, we don't have a Red Wings update right now because we had All-Star break, so no Red Wings update. But, so yep, we'll have our sports/Super Bowl auto show. But before that, we're going to have our time in the Word, exhortation, and then testimony. Please report as far as how my grandma on my dad's side is doing, as my parents are out there in Albuquerque right now. Give you an update on that later. For now, however, I'm going to do the intro as far as the how to listen to this program. So, bear with me for a few minutes, veteran listeners, because real quickly, I have to explain a couple things for our new listeners. And I begin that with this. So, you may be having, I know some people who have been thinking, so you've been listening to this great blog talk radio show, huh? You'll say, yes, I have been. You'll say, what's it called? Well, it's called The Preacher and the Miracle Man Radio Show. So then the people are thinking, well, how do I go online to listen to it? Well, it's simple. You go online to blogtalkradio.com. Again, that's blogtalkradio, all one word, .com. blogtalkradio.com. And then you will see a search bar. In that search bar, you would type in Upfront Entertainment. Okay, Upfront Entertainment. And then what'll happen when you do that is you'll see a link, and that link will be for us. Pursuing the Miracle Man. And this is episode number 76. So this is the 76th time that we've done this, which is totally amazing. So we have all kinds of previous archives. We have all the episodes archived for you to listen to on the website. And we've done a lot of great things. So I encourage you to check it out. You know, we always say it's a very smart thing. It is always a very smart thing to listen to this program on your smartphone or on your laptop or on your Kindle, your iPad, your desktop, whatever you got. So we encourage you to do that. Now, we also have a phone number where you can call in and talk to us live. And we can talk about generally anything you want to talk about. But I have some rules, we have a couple rules, which I will get to right after I give the phone number. And the phone number is area code 215-383-3810. Once again, that telephone number is area code 215-383-3810. Now, once you call in, you'll hear a prompt that says, "Welcome to Blog Talk Radio." Press 1 to call into the show live. When you press 1, what'll happen is you will go through the call screener, and then we'll let you on the air. Now, we have two house rules that we strongly encourage you to please, we ask you to please follow these rules to help us keep our show, you know, clean, uplifting. So we have two rules to help us do that. Rule number 1, this show is not a political show. You may love the president, you may hate the president. You may love or hate our governor in Michigan or your governor in your state. However, we don't do politics here. Also, there are great political talk show hosts that you can listen to both on the analog radio as well as online. People like Sean Hannity, Glenn Beck, Rush Limbaugh, Laura Ingraham, all people that I enjoy listening to. And yes, it's good to know what's going on, but I don't talk about politics on the show. We want to be united. And we believe that having that faith and faith in God, you know, unites us. So we are faith. And we all, and then also we talk about sports. And at least everyone wants to want to talk about, as long as it's not about politics. If it's politics you want to talk about, we're going to do this in love. We're not going to do it mean. We're going to, out of love, we're going to ask you to please pray for your leaders. As the Bible tells us, we should be praying for our leaders anyway. So, keep that in mind. Rule number two. This is a family show. So, generally, we ask you that any comments you use, language, whatever you want to say. Generally, we say, if you would not say it to Jesus, please don't come on this program and say it. I know it's online radio, but still, I don't want to hear it if you wouldn't say it to Jesus. So, please help us with that and help us keep it appropriate for all ages. And if you do the politics and make sure content's appropriate, you do that, and then we'll have a great time together tonight and a great show. And so, without further ado now, we're going to get into a word of prayer and then to open the wonderful Word of God to see and see what God has in store for us this evening. Now, do you know how to pray? You know about prayer and that, and you're leaving prayers and you're listening, by all means, please pray with us. The idea we tend to have is that this is not just the preacher and the miracle man show. We want you to participate with us. So that means if we pray, you pray. If we sing, you sing. When we read the Bible and are studying the Word, you study. I'm speaking, you pay attention. Like when I talk about faith. So, with that, I'm going to start with prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this great night and this great program. I thank you, Lord God, for these wonderful listeners. I thank you that these listeners would be tuned in to the Spirit and tuned in to the Word, and tuned in to what you have to say. And it'd be like tuned in just like when you're well tuned in to the radio station, Lord. Like that, like on the analog dial. Like when it's right in and that sound is coming in clear. I pray that people listening would be like that, without all kinds of static and all kinds of interference. No, the world's not perfect, but I thank you, Lord God, that you're speaking to the listeners tonight. And Lord, I thank you that you're speaking to me and showing me and telling me what I should say. And I thank you, Lord God, that you speak to preachers. And I thank you, Lord God, that you just let him interrupt if he has something that he feels like he should say, something you feel like he should say. Just give him the freedom, as I give him the freedom to do so. And I just pray, Lord God, that you're with us tonight. And I just thank you that I thank you, Lord, that the listenership of this program will grow dramatically. And I thank you that finances will come in. And I thank you that sponsors will come in so we can make this a better and better and better program and reach many more people. And I give you praise and honor and glory, dear God, for a great show tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, turn with me, if you would, please, to the book of Exodus, chapter 17.
Hallelujah.
Praise God, Exodus chapter 17. Oh, I'm so glad we love the Word. Thank God for the Word. Thank God for the Word. Thank God for the Word. What would we do without the Word? Given you a minute to turn. And you got the Word, you got the Bible with you, please turn. Or if it's safe, if you're at home and you got your phone, then look it up on your phone while you listen to the program. Now, we are going to begin, as we're going to be talking a bit about water from the rock. The whole Israelite community sent out from the desert of Sin, traveling from place to place, as the Lord commanded. They camped at Rephidim, but there was no water for the people to drink. So they quarreled with Moses and said, "Give us water to drink." Moses replied, "Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you put the Lord to the test?" But the people were thirsty for water there, and they grumbled against Moses. They said, "Why did you bring us up out of Egypt to make us and our children and our livestock die of thirst?" Then Moses cried out to the Lord, "What am I to do with these people? They are almost ready to stone me." The Lord answered Moses, "Walk on ahead of the people. Take with you some of the elders of Israel and take in your hand the staff from which you struck the Nile and go. I will stand there before you by the rock at Horeb. Strike the rock, and water will come out of it for the people to drink." So Moses did this in the sight of the elders of Israel. And he called the place. Hang on, I'm just turning the page. My bad. And he called the place Massah and Meribah, because the Israelites quarreled and because they tested the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" The Amalekites came and attacked the Israelites at Rephidim, and Moses said to Joshua, "Choose some of our men and go out to fight the Amalekites. Tomorrow I will stand on top of the hill with the staff of God in my hand." So Joshua fought the Amalekites as Moses had ordered. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went to the top of the hill. As long as Moses held up his hand, the Israelites were winning. But whenever he lowered his hand, the Amalekites were winning. And when Moses' hands grew tired, they took a stone and put it under him as he sat on it. Aaron and Hur held his hands up, one on one side, one on the other. So the hands remained steady until sunset. So Joshua overcame the Amalekite army with the sword. Then the Lord said to Moses, write this on a scroll as something to be remembered. And make sure that Joshua hears it, because I will completely boot out the memory, blot out the memory, excuse me, out of Amalek from under heaven. Verse 15. Moses built an altar and called it, "The Lord is my banner." And he said, "Four hands were lifted up to the throne of the Lord. The Lord will be at war against the Amalekites from generation to generation." And I will, in fact, continue on and read chapter 18 as well. Now Jethro, the priest of Midian and father-in-law of Moses, heard of everything. He heard of everything. He heard of everything God had done for Moses and for his people, Israel, and how the Lord had brought Israel out of Egypt. After Moses had sent away his wife, Zipporah, his father-in-law Jethro received her and her two sons. One son was named Gershom, and Moses said, "I have become an alien in a foreign land." And the other was named Eleazar, for he said, "My father's God was my helper, and he saved me from the sword of Pharaoh." Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, together with Moses' sons and wife, came to him in the desert, where he was camped near the mountain of God. Jethro had sent word to him, "And I, your father-in-law, Jethro, am coming to you with your wife and her two sons." So Moses went out to meet his father-in-law, and he bowed down and he kissed him. They greeted each other, and they went into the tent. Moses told his father-in-law about everything the Lord had done to Pharaoh and the Egyptians for Israel's sake, and all the hardships they had met along the way, and how the Lord had saved them. Jethro was delighted to hear about all good things the Lord had done for Israel in rescuing them from the hand of the Egyptians. He said, "Praise be to the Lord who rescued you from the hand of the Egyptians and from Pharaoh, and who rescued the people from the hand of the Egyptians. Now I know that the Lord is greater than all other gods, for he did this to those who had treated Israel arrogantly. than Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, brought a burnt offering and other sacrifices to God. And Aaron came with all the elders of Israel to eat bread with Moses' father-in-law in the presence of God. Verse 13. The next day, Moses took his seat to serve as judge for the people, and they stood around him from morning until evening. When his father-in-law saw all that Moses was doing for the people, he said, "What is this you are doing for the people? Why do you alone sit as judge, while all these people stand around and do nothing till evening?" Moses answered him, "Because the people come to me to seek God's will. Whenever they have a dispute, it is brought to me, and I decide between the parties, inform them of God's decrees and laws." Moses' father-in-law replied, "What you are doing is not good. You and these people who come to you will only wear yourselves out. The work is too heavy for you, and you cannot handle it alone. Listen now to me, and I will give you some advice. And may God be with you. You must be the people's representative before God and bring their dispute to him. Teach them the decrees and laws and show them the way to live and the duties they are to perform. But select capable men from all the people, men who fear God and are trustworthy men who hate men who hate dishonest, who hate dishonest gain, and appoint them as officials over thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens. Have them serve as judges for the people at all times, but have them bring every difficult case to you. The simple cases they can decide themselves. That will make your load lighter, because they will share it with you. If you do this, and if God commands, you will be able to stand the strain, and all these people will go home satisfied." Moses listened to his father-in-law and did everything he said. He chose capable men from all Israel and made them leaders of the people, officials over thousands, over hundreds, over fifties, and over tens. And they served as judges for the people at all times. The difficult cases they brought to Moses, but the simple ones they decided themselves. Then Moses sent his father-in-law on his way, and Jethro returned to his own country. Now, let's go to Hebrews 11. Praise God.
Josh, can you get me a refill of regular?
Can you get me a refill of regular? Coke.
Okay, thank you. So, Preacher Man, I never found that page, so if you can get to 1 through 12, and I will start with 13.
Alrighty. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can, Preacher Man.
Alright, here we go. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which were seen are not made of things which are visible. By faith Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. And through it, he being dead, still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death, and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony, that he pleased God. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. With faith, it's possible to please God. He who comes to God must believe that he, God, exists, and that he is a rewarder of those diligently seeking. By faith, Noah, being warned of things not yet seen. Moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise, as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city, which has foundations, whose builders and maker is God. By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, him as good as dead, were born as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. Verse 13, take it away.
And all of these people were still living by faith when they died. But they did not receive those things that were promised. They only saw them, and they welcomed them from a distance. And they admitted that they were aliens and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they have left, they would have had opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. 17. By faith, Abram, when God tested him, he offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had received the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him, "It is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned." Abraham reasoned. He reasoned that God could raise the dead. And figuratively speaking, he did receive Isaac back from death. He did receive him back from death. And by faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau in regard to their futures. And by faith, Jacob, when he was dying, he blessed each of Joseph's sons, and he worshipped as he leaned on the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when his end was near, he spoke about the exodus of the Israelites from Egypt and gave instructions about his bones. By faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born, because they saw that he was no ordinary child, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. And by faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. And by faith, he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw who was invisible. And by faith, he kept the Passover with a sprinkling of blood, so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land. But when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. Verse 30. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after the people had marched around them for 7 days. By faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, she was not killed with those who were disobedient. And what more shall I say? I do not have the time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets, because I don't have the time to talk about them, because I got to Gotsta. Does it say that? Preacher man, does it say I got to Gotsta?
No, not at all.
I did that to see if people were listening. That's why I teased and said I got to Gotsta. Okay. We're going to read it right. I don't have the time to talk about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. Women received back their death, raised to life again. Others were tortured and refused to be released, so that they might gain a better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging, while still others were chained and put in prison. They were stoned. They were sawed in two. They were put to death by the sword. They went about in sheepskins, goats and in goatskins. They were persecuted and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in caves and holes in the ground. They were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. Verse 12, we're going to start with verse 1 and read verses 1 and 2. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles us, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, and let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who through the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand at the throne of God. Thank God Jesus did that, but he's still sitting at that right hand at the throne. Now, hallelujah. So you think about the Amalekites. Now, these are some bad people. These Amalekites are some bad people. Yet the Israelites were able to defeat them. The Israelites, they defeated these Amalekite people, and they just totally destroyed them. Now let's talk about this water situation. Now, previously, last week, we had read about how God had provided the Israelites with manna. Yes, he created manna. And then he dropped down quail so that the Israelites would have some meat to eat. Now, for some reason, God didn't necessarily provide an endless water supply so that they could just have water whenever they wanted it, regardless of where they went. Preacher man, why do you think it is that God didn't just provide Moses and the Israelites with an endless water supply so they would have it wherever they want, like the manna?
Right, because God always wants you to walk in faith. God always wants you to function in faith.
I knew the answer to that. I just wanted to clarify.
All right, then.
So the reason, folks, the reason God did not supply a fixed constant source of water for the Israelites is because God wanted them to walk in faith. That's what we as Christians need to be doing all the time. We need to be walking in life through faith and having belief in God. Faith is trust in the Lord that he would do what he said in his word. So it's essentially trusting God. It's trusting that he would do it. It'd be like if I had faith in with a brother who owned a fire shop or something, or we'll say he owns a tool store. Now, Brother John, I know you have to go. Would you mind if I walked over the tool stop for a couple hours while you go do this thing that you have to do? And, or you have a business and John comes over. You say, John, would you mind watching this? And John says, yeah, I'll do it. in this case, that faith, or, I mean, in that case, you'd be trusting John, that he would do what he said he would do. John watches over the store. Then I come back and see that everything's just as it should be. You know? Faith is, in a sense, is trust. Trusting in the Lord.
Yes.
So generally, these people, those of you who are struggling with lack of faith, you know what it really is? Lack of trust. You're not trusting God. You need to trust Him. And we always, it's easy to kind of talk about why you should trust certain people and why you shouldn't trust other people and all that. But hey, you can always trust God and should always trust God. He's going to do what He said He would do in His Word. Period. There's no way about it. He's not imperfect like us humans. He's perfect. So if you think there's someone you shouldn't be trusting, God's not that perfect. God's not that evil. You should always have trust in Him, and you should always have belief in Him, that He's going to do what He said He would do. For example, I have faith that He's going to heal my body. I have faith for this program and listenership growth. I have faith that big amounts of money come to me. I have faith that. God will do all these things that I'm believing for. And the Bible talks about that the just shall live by faith. That means living that faith-loved lifestyle. Going to church, reading your Bible, you know, doing what God said, and praying, talking to God. It's great to be praying for other people, but there's also times you need to be praying for yourself and speaking those things that are not as though they are. And, for example, if you're a poor person, or even if you're not necessarily poor, but you want to make more money, a great thing to be saying would be, I speak big amounts of money into my life in the name of Jesus. And then you say, I have favor in the workplace. I have bonuses, raises, sales, rebates, you know. And then, as you believe in God and pray and ask God, He'll do it for you. Provided you're not breaking any hedges. And God wants to help. Now, in the case of Moses, God did provide a rock for that one place. And Moses struck the rock. Water came out. And they drank the water, and it was sweet water. Now, and then you think about Jethro. Jethro was right to say, you know, Moses, why do you do this for yourself? Why don't you appoint these heads over thousands and hundreds and fifties and tens, or in churches we could, or in churches we could call them elders, for example, and or deacons, you know. And he basically said, well, Moses, you should have the people for small issues talk to these heads that I'm going to help you put in place. We'll call them administrators. And so if what can happen can be, and then he said basically this. The big thing, you can either, people can either tell you, Moses, directly, and they can tell the, or they can tell the administrator, and they can tell me, and then they can tell me. Now, in our churches, we would call them names like elders, deacons, thought care ministers, and what have you. And then they would tell pastors. No, I'm not specifically targeting Dr. Barclay. I'm saying the pastor at your church. Any pastor at any church, you know, who believes in this. But we've got to have faith and trust and belief in God that he will do what he said he would do in his word. Now, his testimony. Well, last Sunday, actually, my parents got a call from my grandpa on my dad's side and said, Julie and Caleb, my wife wasn't doing so well. She has Parkinson's, but she can't move. She's having trouble with all these certain things. She's been in really serious pain the last couple of days. Looks like she's going to pass soon. So I want you, Caleb, to come out, bring Julie with you, and, you know, be with us for right now as we go through this time. And then my mom and dad said, okay, on Monday. So they called me and let me know. And they give me an update a couple days later. How is she doing? About the same. Don't know when she's going to pass. Now, Saturday, they talked to me. They called me. My mom called me. And okay, Mom, how is Grandma? Well, Grandma had actually improved quite a bit in the couple of days between, like, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Saturday. Now, she's still struggling quite a bit, but it's not quite as dire as it has been. I believe that God... That I believe that she did not die because God wanted her to be able to testify. And I keep believing for her salvation. And I pray right now that if my mom and or dad and or my Aunt Monica, who's the same age as me, my mom, my dad, Monica, if any of them are listening that right now, that they are getting to totally believe because they're Hindu. But my grandpa on my dad's side has been to church, so he is a believer, but for some reason he's been kind of out of the convention. We're believing for that salvation, so that whenever she does go, that they can be in peace and we can know that she's going to go to heaven. But I praise God that she's made so much progress, and I pray that she's going to get a complete and total healing right now. So, preacher man, you wouldn't mind saying a prayer for my grandma?
Sure. Sure. Father, right now, in Jesus' name, we're like Jesus. Jesus stood at the tomb of Lazarus and said, Father, I know you hear my prayer. As a child of God, I know you hear my prayer. You said if we receive the kingdom as a little child, simple faith, that we'll receive the kingdom. So right now, according to God's holy word, we say, by the stripes of Jesus, she is made whole. She receives health and strength in her body. A testimony of the power of God that all can see and know and testify of. We speak it now in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen. Because I was talking to Monica. Amen. And I was talking, because I was talking to Monica, and then as well as to my mom and my dad. And they were basically all saying the same thing I was saying, that we believe that we didn't die because God has a testimony that she is sincere.
Wow. With
Indians that don't know God, so that they can be converted. And that they can know the real, true God. You know? And I've shared my testimony. She now has a testimony to share. I told you, I've said multiple times on this program about how the spirit of death tried to take me 4 different times. We didn't let it take me. We're glad that we did. Now, of course, I was very little and didn't have any idea, so it's not like I could have made the decision. But, you know, God had his way. God had his way. And I pray that he gets his way in the case of my grandmother also. And she's going to get what we're believing for, and what carefully she'll be believing for, and that is the complete and total healing. I am happy to say that my parents will be back in Michigan Saturday, so it's not like they left us off for good, and I won't ever be back. No. But if it becomes the case that she's actually going to pass, obviously they'll be there, and very possibly there, like if there's like a funeral or whatever, I mean, homegoing service, depending on what happens. When and what have you. But prayerfully, it'll be a long time before that happens. And so with that, dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for the word that went forth tonight. I pray that people would take it to heart and would take to heart this faith message and this trust in you. That having faith is trust, and lack of faith is lack of trust. And that you are the greatest ever. And I just pray that people would love you, and that people would just take this message to heart. And I just thank you for wasting time tonight in your word that we studied. In Jesus' name, amen. Coca-Cola, America's finest soft drink and the greatest soft drink you'll ever enjoy.
Dr. Pepper.
Now, this past Friday, I went to the North American International Auto Show down in downtown Detroit. Now, there were many different automakers there, a great many of them. We had our American perennials, you know, Ford, Chrysler, and General Motors. We also had Tesla. We also had another American company called Falcon. We also had your companies like Subaru, Honda, Toyota, Hyundai, Kia, Lamborghini, among different auto companies. Obviously, some companies brought more cars than others. And there was a picture. The person who I went with, you know, me and my brother, someone else went with us. They took a picture of me sitting in a Cadillac Escalade, even though my brother said maybe I should have tried a GMC Denali, because according to my brother, the Denali in some ways could be nicer than the Escalade, but not always necessarily. It depends on what you're looking for. But in other ways, the Escalade can be nicer. Both are quite a bit of money, and obviously it depends on what you want. Obviously, I would want something that's a good amount of height off the ground. I like having something to step into, nice and tall, and to be able to say this is a man's car, like a man's sport utility, you know, and to have it have some good power in it. Some nice heated seats. Cool seats would be nice too. If I'm in like a really rough, humid part of the South in the summer. As when it comes to humidity, some parts of the South are much rougher than others. And so I want my car to be equipped accordingly. And so many cars, and then downstairs, down below the auto show, and off to the side, there was a downstairs, and downstairs there was a stage. And before we got down there, there was some cheerleaders who were doing some cheers and stuff, and from some school in downtown Detroit, and then after that, a choir came up, a choir of great young people. Most of them were, generally they were 12 to 14, and it was from a art and science school in the city of Detroit. They had great voices. Some of the songs they sang, they changed some lyrics to be about Detroit. And so it was a really cool thing. that they would do that in an event like that, and they would use it to be about, you know, the heritage of Detroit, you know, as a great city. As the Cobo Hall, the Cobo Center really was fantastic. I was greatly impressed by the amount of people that were there. But generally, what any year that I've went, I've always been pleased. We got lunch on the way down at Steak and Shake in Madison Heights. Fantastic food, by the way, over at Steak and Shake. And then on the way back, we got some donuts at Krispy Kreme Donuts. Again, over there on... Again, over there in Madison Heights, on the, generally on the corner of basically 14 Mile and John R., just east of 75, and in the parking lot of the Oakland Mall Shopping Center. But needless to say, Krispy Kreme and Steak and Shake, great places, both put out great products. And that Steak and Shake, you don't have to just get steak. No, they have good burger options. One of which I got is one called, I forget the actual name, but it's a burger with, and the bun has garlic on it. So it would be like garlic bread. And as kind of a buttery garlic type thing. So you have the burger, and then you have the little bits of garlic dusted on the bun, so it makes it kind of a nice seasoned bun. And I got that and fries for just $3.99 plus tax, and which is a nice deal. Now the drinks are extra, but that garlic burger and fries for $3.99, fantastic. And by the way, before I stop my plug for the night for Steak and Shake, I should also say that there are closer ones here in Michigan, one of which is in Lansing, I believe. Now I don't get over to Lansing that much, but one in Lansing. The next closest one that I know of is right near the Great Lakes Crossing Mall, Great Lakes Crossing Outlet. And I hadn't been to Steak and Shake in like over 10 years because I thought the fries were dry. And then now I figured out what we had to do, that you have to put seasoning on them. There's certain seasoning that they have, and that made them much better. It made a big difference. Made them a lot better, and it's a place that I will certainly be back to the next couple times I go down. And they have great shake options, by the way. Wonderful shake options to choose from. I didn't get a shake, though. I just stuck with my wonderful vanilla Coke. Coca-Cola with vanilla. Again, this is a Steak and Shake where food is amazing with good prices. I would say it put some spice in your life. Steak and Shake is one of the greatest places of that kind of thing. And Steak and Shake isn't necessarily just in the South, but it's in more urban areas. And so we're there. And also Krispy Kreme. Lots of great different varieties of donuts. Now, they are generally smaller donuts, but they have a lot of good flavors to choose from. And there's only one Krispy Kreme I know of in Michigan, and that is at 14 Mile at 75. Actually, Krispy Kreme is in the Oakland Mall parking lot at 14 Mile and John R. Road in wonderful Madison Heights, Michigan. And donuts are fantastic. Sometimes the red light is on, and when the red light is on, it means there are hot donuts. And And you can't go wrong with hot donuts ever, 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 ever. So, it was a great day to go to the auto show Friday. Was nice and warm, rode the people mover, had some great donuts and food. And so, good day. And we left on time from Detroit. I mean, we left late enough, like around like 6:45 or so, that we were able to miss the vast majority of the evening's rush hour traffic. So we did good with that. And now, that's right, it is time for sports, and the NFL music is first because it is Super Bowl week, and I have some things, like based on what I've been hearing from the other sports talk shows that I listen to. And kind of other thinking. And so, as well as the Pro Bowl last night, which leads me to the Pro Bowl from last night. Last night, Pro Bowl, NFC versus AFC. NFC 24, AFC 23. More low scoring game than I was thinking, but the NFC won basically on the last second deal there. And so we have that. Now, about this Super Bowl thing and what some people are saying. And that is this. The vast majority of the sports radio shows that I've listened to, the guys I've heard talk, and that generally they're saying that the game could go either way. Right now, at least, a bunch of them are saying that. That they're saying that it could go either way. They're also saying that who wins will most likely win by a touchdown or less. Some are saying 4 points or less. And that's something to think about as you get ready to make your pick. I'm gonna make it on Wednesday night. I'm gonna do the pick, and rather than just make the pick, you know, by mouth, I'll do that, but it'll be decided based on a card. Meaning, I got a deck of cards at home. Some of them are boiled. I believe they all have a flip thing on them. And I'm going to have who's with me flip the card over on a certain side. That way I can't see the result yet. That way I can't feel the result. We're going to do it based on one of the cards. And the color, it is just they're different colors. And it basically, what it's going to be, generally, the side on the card you could see, would that be head or tail? So generally,
Yeah, so it's going to be, it's either going to be that or a coin toss. And I'm going to pick it that way. I know who I want to win the Super Bowl. I'm not going to spoil it before the game. I'm not going to spoil and say who I want. I have no problem saying who I want. They'll come a week from tonight on Monday, next week. Wait a minute. Excuse me, next Tuesday, because next Monday I'll be at the Pistons game in downtown Detroit. But also, Super Bowl news, and I just said that I had from based on what people are saying. Also, me, when talking to my parents this weekend about Grandma, when talking to them about it, they had said something about, yeah, March, you want to take you somewhere, and then talked about that for, you know, a weekend in March, and, like, going to Ohio somewhere. And then I had told them about Super Bowl going to be in Atlanta. No, I will not be going to the Super Bowl itself. Hang on. I should never say never. It'd be nice if somehow I scored 3 tickets in that. And if I think I have a good shot of winning tickets, I might play a game that could get me 3 tickets if I were to win. But, I'm thinking next year that I'd like to go to Atlanta for a couple days of Super Bowl week, Super Week, as they call it. And it'll probably be the first couple days of that week. Again, this would be 2019. And I'd be there in Atlanta to meet. Hopefully I'd get to meet some players, get to meet some, you know, some media personalities and some other famous people. That would be really, really, really cool to get to do that and to get to just enjoy the wonderful atmosphere that'll be overtaking the city of Atlanta. The area at large generally, but especially the city. And I bet you're right now, Minneapolis is... Yes, Preacher?
I got a question about football.
Yes.
Since nobody else called it in.
Hello.
Did Tom Brady really have a 6th finger surgically implanted on his hand?
No, he didn't. That was a joke thing.
Oh, that I thought he had a finger at it, so he had room for another ring.
Absolutely not. That was a joke from some ESPN guys. But that really is funny. It really is funny.
That really is funny.
And I was going to get to that tomorrow night or Wednesday night. I was going to get to that, and I still might, you know, but that really was funny. So, looks like there is, I'm not saying it's likely, I'm not saying it's probable, could go either way right now, it's a year out, but I just might. Let's look at some hotels and that, but I just might be going to Atlanta for a couple days of the week of Super Bowl number 56 in ATL. Now, thank God for Moda. I thank God for Moda totally, because without it, traffic in Minneapolis Atlanta, excuse me, would be absolutely crazy. And we'll be anyway, so if we're in town, we'll make sure to take Moda where possible, which is Metro Atlanta Regional Transit Authority. And we'll be making use of that if we go. And part of it, if I were to go, part of it would be based on this. Can I get into the new Atlanta Mercedes-Benz Stadium? And here's what I'm thinking. To do that, I might look to see, I'll look to see whether they open the U.S. Bank Stadium for some kind of tours or events for the week of the Super Bowl, you know, to let people in and take a look around and go do what they're going to do and all that. Because I'd love to see Mercedes-Benz Stadium there in Atlanta. I give Mercedes-Benz Stadium high praise, very high praise, for what they've done with their concessions at that new stadium. And the Atlanta Falcons now rank number one for concessions and satisfaction among fans. And here's what they've done. All pizza slices in general in the new Mercedes-Benz Stadium are $3. Coca-Cola beverages, $2. And refillable cups. The cup is refillable, unlike many stadiums where they won't, where they wouldn't be. Hot dogs, $2. Popcorn, I believe, $2. Some other certain notable prices, which is a great idea on how to rein in prices, as right now we have stadiums who are selling sodas for like $5 a pop, and many times no free refills. Loon Stadium, I was selling them for like $4 for a 21-ounce beverage with no refills. So I give great praise to the Falcons on working on this. So I'm thinking this. If it turns out that for whatever reason we can't go for Super Bowl week, I would like to instead go to Atlanta when on the week of a game. So that I can be there at a live Falcons game for my first ever live NFL game. And the reason I'd want to go to an NFL game, a Falcons NFL game, is because it is one of the, it is the newest stadium in the league right now. And so there'll be a lot of glitz and glamour involved, as well as lower concession prices and other things. I love Atlanta a lot. It's one of my favorite places in this country and of big cities. The only two that are either as high or higher on my list as far as the biggest cities in America are Dallas, Houston. So, three favorite cities in America. Someone asked me this as far as the very major, very big cities. It'd be Atlanta, Dallas, Houston. And all three of them are Southern. I love the South a lot. And they all have unique, but sometimes similar reasons for why these are my preferences. And as I continue to do this, you'll start to hear possibly some reasons as to why I prefer these cities as opposed to some other major cities. But for this evening, we got more sports to get to. Now let's talk basketball. In basketball, the Pistons this weekend drop some more games, three more games, to now have an eight-game losing streak. Yippee! Oh, just, no, that is not a yippee. That is, we are better than that. And last night, they really choked. They really choked. They played great for the first 3.5 quarters, and then the last about 6 minutes, totally choked. As the Pistons lost to the Cleveland Cavaliers by the score of 121-104. LeBron James had over 20 points last night for the Cavaliers. Tobias Harris had 20 points for us. The Pistons last night. Andre Drummond had 14 points and 11 rebounds. That was his 32nd double-double of the year. And what's next for the Pistons? Tomorrow night at Little Caesars Arena, they welcome the Cleveland Cavaliers for the final time that Detroit plays Cleveland this year. Once again, this is at Little Caesars Arena. And hopefully they can get a win, because they really need to get a win. And people might say, well, Miracle Man, maybe you should cancel your tickets if the Pistons don't win between the next couple of games before Monday. If they don't win any of them, maybe you should cancel your tickets. I'm not canceling those tickets. We are absolutely not canceling those tickets. My dad got them for me for Christmas. I'm not canceling the tickets because I want to go inside and see the new arena. I have hope. I have faith in them that they're going to get through this. They're going to get back to winning. Hopefully, they can get these kinks worked out so they can start winning more and get back over that 500 mark so they can possibly make the playoffs. But they're going to have to do a lot of work. And Stan Van Gundy, let me see, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18. This is Van Gundy's 5th year with us. And so far he's only made the playoffs once, but they lost first round, got swept out. I think if they are no better this year than they were last year, because last year they took a step back from the year before when they made the playoffs. I think if they take a step backward again, that it's time to look for a new coach. I really do. Now, they're trying to get some right pieces in there and stuff, but sometimes you need a new coach too. So you can, you know, start winning again. So that's your update for Pistons. Michigan got a, they played Purdue, lost by 85-80. Michigan State is off, they'll play again in a couple days. Red Wings are on the All-Star break right now. They return to the ice on Wednesday, I believe. And that is your sports update for tonight. And until tomorrow night, everybody, until tomorrow night, God first, God always. And it's not just something we say. We say it because we mean it, because it's very important that God is first in our lives. Very important. Very important. Because God created us, so we should always keep that in mind. So until tomorrow night, God first, God always. So long, everybody, and I'll see you tomorrow night.
So long, Miracle Man. God bless you.
Thank you so much. God bless you.